turn our attention to the subject at hand, and that is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, when I say in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, I do not mean that you go running through the aisles and jumping the pews and shouting and all these kinds of things. So if Brother Dan does this after I get done, then you know that it wasn't because of what I preach. So anyway, I don't think Brother Dan would do that anyway. But anyway, we mean in the Holy Spirit. I used to do stuff like that before God had showed me the truth about that. But let's turn to our text in Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, just a real quick exposition here of that phrase and looking at the book of Revelation. I find it interesting that the beginning of the book and the time in which we live today, prior to the rapture, prior to the new heaven and the new earth and the eternal Sabbath, the eternal rest, we have a statement here that points to the eternal Sabbath or the eternal rest. But it goes on to say, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and Laodicea. Now, you may have heard that there have been some Christian gatherings that instead of meeting on the first day of the week, like today, the Lord's Day, instead of meeting then, they meet other days of the week. It may be Saturday, it may be Monday, trying to make the weekends free to do more fun, important things, is basically what they're saying when they change the day. Catholics have done that for years. But in the Scriptures, the only holy day, the only holiday that is prescribed in the Bible is the Lord's Day.
Amen.
We have the privilege to have a holiday, if you want to term it that way. I want to look at it in a positive way. Because what I intend to bring out is not something that would get us in legalistic entanglements. That's not the purpose of this message. It's a positive commandment that we have here. So my proposal is that the fourth commandment, keeping the Sabbath day holy, is enforced today and is manifested today as the Lord's Day. Let me start out with a question. How many of you believe that all Ten Commandments ought to be obeyed? Well, I could just sit down and I'd be done. But the problem is that in our culture, it's easy to be misunderstood as to what I mean by this. And so we want to deal with this being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. What does that mean? First of all, it says in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. What is that saying? It's saying simply that when you are in the Spirit on the Lord's day, that means you're going to be obeying the Word. In particular, you're going to obey the Word in regards to the Lord's day. And we're going to get into what exactly that means. But we want to look at three things this morning. Number one, the principle of the Lord's day. Number two, the precedent of the Lord's day. And number three, the practice of the Lord's day. So let's look at the principle, or we could say the law, of the Lord's day. And we find the principle mentioned in Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, it simply says in verse 2, "And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made, and blessed the seventh day, and sanctified it," or set it apart, "because that in it He had rested from all His works which God created and made." Let me just make an important note here. This principle, or law of the Sabbath, is mentioned before any other law had ever been mentioned. Before there was the prohibition of eating from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's interesting to note also that in this particular day, you remember all the other days it said, and the morning and the evening, or the evening and the morning were the first day and the evening and morning. Well, in the seventh day, it doesn't say that. Why is that? Because like all the Sabbaths that I'm going to be mentioning, it all points to the eternal Sabbath. Which, what I want to propose to you is that there is a Sabbath. That word means rest or a pause. In every age, there is a Sabbath. There is a rest. And today, it is the Lord's Day. The Sabbath is also mentioned before Moses brought the Ten Commandments. Not only in Genesis, but we find it also there in when they gathered the manna there in Exodus 16. How much were they supposed to gather on the sixth day? Twice as much. Why? Because they weren't to gather on the seventh day. It is something that they were supposed to recognize. As a matter of fact, it points back to that. There in verse 25 of Exodus 16. "And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field, that is the manna. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none." And why is that? Verse 29, "See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore He giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. It's called there in verse 23, "Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord." But then the one that most people recognize as the one in the Decalogue, there are the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. What is the first word that we see when this commandment is introduced? We see in verse 8, the very first word is remember. Well, you got, in order to remember something, it had to exist before, right? So they are remembering that principle that was way back in Genesis and back there in Exodus chapter 16. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And I'm not going to go into all of what it says, except to say again, that this was a day that God had sanctified, that He had blessed. And there's more words, interestingly enough, in this commandment than any of the other commandments. Again, there's always been a Sabbath in every age. But within the principle of the Sabbath is a purpose in the Sabbath. And you'll find that in Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. And it says in verse 13, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day." Okay, you see, it's the Lord's day, right? "And call the Sabbath a delight." That is the purpose. Again, it's not a bunch of do's and don'ts and where you get all tangled up in a bunch of legalism. It's to be a delight. And if it's not a delight, we've missed the point entirely. Amen. It's meant to be a blessing. It's something that we, not only that we got to do, but that we get to do. Notice it says, "And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor Him not doing thine own ways." Here's a negative. "Nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words." Now, we have some exceeding great and precious promises attached with this. We find there in verse 14, "Then, if we delight ourselves in the Lord's day, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord." This simply means an exquisite pleasure that we take in the Lord our God. To be overwhelmed by the beauty of God's holiness and the glory of God. This God who spoke this world into existence. This God who is thrice holy that we just sang about. The Trinitarian God. We can delight and be overwhelmed with His glory on this day, and take great pleasure in recognizing that though we are sinners, God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's part of what it means to delight ourselves in the Lord on the Sabbath day. So when we do this, we delight ourselves in the Lord. When we set apart this day, you know, it's really kind of like a revival, isn't it? The Lord's Day. That's what it ought to be. It ought to be like heaven on earth on the Lord's Day. "And I will cause..." Now, this is the other promise. "And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth." This is a language of victory. That Israel, as she defeated her enemies, this is a language of victory of us who are more than conquerors in our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. We will, in contemplating the great God with whom we have to do, it will cause us to realize, this God loves me. And I am more than a conqueror through Him. I have the victory. You ever seen that wide world of sports years ago? The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. I want the thrill of victory. And that's what happens when we delight. We call the Sabbath a delight. And we conduct ourselves in that the Sabbath is a delight. And He goes on to say, "And feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father." What does that mean? Brother Nathan was talking about our adoption into the family of God. We rejoice and our confidence is solidified in recognizing that we have obtained through the Lord Jesus Christ the inheritance of the saints in light. We are partakers thereof already. Why? Because it says in the next verse, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now let's ask a question. Does God, as we look at the Scriptures, does He give us in the New Testament age more blessings? Or does He take away some of the blessings? You get more blessings, don't you? It wouldn't make sense that all of a sudden we don't have a Sabbath day. We don't have a Lord's Day. It doesn't make sense. It goes contrary to the tenor of Scripture that that would be the case. Matter of fact, we see in Mark 2:27, it says, and He said to them, that is Jesus, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It's a blessing in this in our age of stress and all this. What a blessing to have a day like today. To be able to delight in the Lord. It is a great benefit to mankind, not only to the saved, but even to the unsaved. Back in the day in our country, when we recognized the blessings of this day, even the unsaved got to enjoy that blessing of God. With this principle, a purpose is fulfilled when we consider it, because man needs rest. He needed rest back then just as much as he needs it today, doesn't he? It hadn't changed. We're the same. We're sinners like them, with a spirit that's willing, but the flesh is weak like them. We need that rest. We have the same needs as they did, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Sabbath was made for us. It's a gift that God gives to us. And another thing I just want to point out real quickly. You know, we use the argument, the same kind of argument, I guess. And when we deal with the whole idea of Easter and the 3 days and three nights, we say what? That it's, you know, it's a full day. Well, you know what? It's the Lord's Day. 24 hours. God has given us 24 hours to be able to delight in Him. That's the attitude that ought to be. Not, oh, I've got to do this. You mean I got to meditate on God all day today? Come on! Do you really think that that's an attitude that God is pleased with? We are. What happens is that we're robbing ourselves of God's blessing. And then we find also in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9, there remaineth therefore, as we see that there was the whole idea of that Jesus is greater than Joshua, it's brought out. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. He's not denying that Canaan wasn't a rest, but He's simply saying there's more than that at stake here. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Who is he talking about here? He's talking about Christ. Christ. That's who is being spoken of here. When there remains a present rest. That word in the Greek, Brother Gene, is sabbatismos. It means rest. There remains a rest. I just can't imagine that first of all, God would say, okay, you have to obey all the Ten Commandments except for the fourth one now. You can have all the blessings of all those commandments, but not anymore on the fourth. I can't believe that. It disrupts the continuity of the Holy Scriptures as we look at the Sabbaths of every age. So, And I could go into Isaiah 26 or 56 where it talks about the eunuch being able to enjoy. This was really pointing to the Lord's Day in the New Testament. The eunuch being able to go in the house of God. Well, that wasn't talking about the seventh day Sabbath. Because eunuchs weren't allowed, according to Deuteronomy 23, to go into the Lord's house. So it was pointing to the Lord's Day. We see there in Hosea 2:11, it says, I will cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. It had been predicted. Besides, doesn't Jesus, the Son of Man, is Lord of even the Sabbath? That He wants to change it. He's going to do everything according to the counsel of His own will, isn't He? Because He is sovereign. The seventh day, the seventh Sabbath was fulfilled when Jesus Christ rose from the dead and finished His work of redemption. The ceremonial law and all the intricate details were fulfilled. We see that the moral law continues. The first four commandments. The first table of the law. It's in force just as much as the second table. But let's just look. Let me just use one account here. You have to look it up for yourself. My time's limited. But all four gospel accounts mention this first day of the week. All four of them. Matthew 28:1, we'll take for instance, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. So we see that, let me just look at Mark 16:9. Now when Jesus was risen, when was He risen? Early, the first day of the week. So, the seventh day Sabbath spoke of the creation. The first day Sabbath, the Lord's Day, spoke of redemption being created. And we are commemorating, we are memorializing, we are remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. And the Lord's Day now points to the eternal rest. If it was just the seventh day. Seventh day was the law, wasn't it? How could the law point us to the eternal rest? Because the law means death to us. The law means that I can't keep the law because I'm totally depraved. So how could the seventh day Sabbath alone speak of the eternal rest without considering the redemptive work that Jesus did when He rose from the dead? You see, it was finished. The victory has been won. But now let's look quickly at the practice of the Lord's Day. We've seen the principle. We've seen the precedent in Christ being resurrected from the dead. Now the practice. We see, first of all, the early church kept the Lord's Day. Then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled in fear of the Jews, came Jesus to the midst, saith unto them, peace be unto you. Then in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The day of Pentecost, remember, it was the 50th day, and it was right after the 49th day, divided by seven. There were seven Sabbaths. And so, the day of Pentecost was the Lord's Day. It was the first day of the week. That is when they gathered together. And then again there, we see in 1 Corinthians 15:20, it says, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits, speaking back to the day of Pentecost, of them which that slept. So it's again pointing back to Pentecost, the first fruits. And then, again, it's a celebration of Christ's resurrection. Then Acts 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when The disciples came together. When they assembled together to break bread, Paul preached unto them bread and part on Mara in 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. In other words, the tithes and offerings. The great physician has made a great plan for blessing for us in the day in which we live in all the stress. Historically speaking, our Baptist forefathers have believed that the first day of the week was the what they would call the Christian Sabbath. J.P. Boyce Taylor, B.H. Carroll. We see the same thing in the early confessions of faith. They believe the same exact thing. So what does it mean, with the little time we got left here, does it mean to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? Or does it mean that we're idle? There are certain things that we do on the Lord's Day. The works of religion, such as we had read, gathering together on the Lord's Day, preaching and praying and meditating upon Christ and fellowshipping together, singing God's songs, worshiping God, witnessing to others, fellowship, baptism, the Lord's Supper. But then there are works of necessity. There, Jesus said, those who were saying, well, your disciples are plucking ears of corn on the Sabbath day. What Jesus said to him, behold, thy disciples do that which is lawful to do, not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But then Jesus said, have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and that they there with him, how he entered in the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. There's a work of necessity. You've got to eat, right? And then there was thirdly, the other thing that is lawful on the Lord's Day is works of mercy. Even to animals. That was to take them out of the ditch. You know, out of the pit. But then when Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, the Pharisees came to him again. Is it lawful? And Jesus responded and said, is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil? To save life or destroy it? So what he did, he restored the hand of that man who had the withered hand. Works of mercy. Anything beyond this, I don't have the liberty, we don't have the liberty to engage in. I understand there's some people who have jobs that are works of mercy, okay? Works of necessity. But we need to be careful that we don't rob blessings from ourselves and others by keeping them from keeping the Sabbath day holy. And we don't want to rob God of His glory. It's called the Lord's Day for a reason, because it's all centered about Jesus Christ. It's no wonder that today we don't have the victory. It's no wonder in so many cases among Christians, and I speak broadly, it's because there is a total disregard for the Lord's Day. We're robbing ourselves, God's people. We're robbing ourselves of the blessings. So look at it positively. Don't look at it as some legalistic, horrible thing you got to do, but something that you get to do. I get the Lord. You mean I got all 1/7 out of the week, about 14%, to be able to do this, to just meditate on you? Now, if I was A.W. Pink, I might run with that figure, but I'm not. But anyway, I just want to close by saying, let's don't put oxes in the ditch and say and give excuses to ourselves, or wait till the Lord's Day before we take care of it. God knows all about that. And let's remember, those of you who may be out there who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, for God's people, we have an eternal Sabbath waiting for us. An eternal day. If you don't know Christ, you have an eternal night in outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So I urge you to go to Christ, the one who gives rest to those who labor and are heavy laden with their sins.